You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A little bit of Marvin Gaye, what's going on? And a lot's been going on, and it seemed on the same note as we were in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. And as I had promised, we'll bring back the people from Local 5, members and other individuals that were family members supporting and citizens. And today, I have Michael and Mike McGurn and Khalil Arona. And Mike was one of the arrestees, and Ms. Arona has a personal story representative of many stories to be told. What's going on with this whole issue of corporatization? People are going with, we're struggling to make a living, as they describe it. And what's happening? Cost of living goes up, and apparently the claims, and obviously many of them, we don't see any increase in salaries and medical and what have you. And the companies announce how many billions they make in profit quarterly, annually, monthly, and the worker still loses it. So that's what this protest was about last week, and so much for that. Mike, good morning, and Arona.
Good morning.
All righty. Mike, share with the people out there. First of all, I was moved by your participation and many others. There were others there, attendance. Former state senator.
Yes.
Bob Nakata was there, who Bob got arrested. And now Reverend Bob Nakata.
Right.
And there were others. Can you real quickly name that went in and were arrested like you? And share with us briefly what took place there.
As far as our community supporters, we had many community supporters that decided to stand up with us. Amy Agbayani from the university, Nancy Alec from the People's Fund.
Mm-hmm.
We had people from FACE, which is the Faith Action Community for Community Equity. And we had many, many supporters. We are, let me say first that the Hyatt action was a tremendous success for us. I think we all feel that Hawaii workers are taking a stand against corporate greed. They're fighting to preserve Hawaii's number one industry and preserving our rights to decent jobs and fighting to preserve our homes and the communities that we live in. And we all see this as a necessity to our futures.
Mm-hmm.
The community that has joined with us has given us support in many areas, but I'm glad that we all felt that this action was important. They would even go as far as being arrested for what we all mutually believe in.
Mm-hmm. And Arona, how about you? Did you witness the protest?
Yes, I did. For me, it's a fight for my family, for my children.
Mm-hmm.
I have six children, and you know, I need to provide medical for them. My husband recently went on dialysis, and he lost his job, so
mm-hmm.
I'm a sole provider.
So we're not, this can't be construed as a group of people who want something for nothing. This is a reality. You live in this economy, and this economy is impacting you, correct?
That's correct.
And you're not asking Hyatt to give you handouts. You just want fair compensation.
Exactly. We work hard. And the company is getting, you know, they're rebounding. They're getting their money back. The hotels are busy. We're
mm-hmm.
full.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't tell us that they're not making any money.
Now, your husband's on dialysis. You have six children. What is it like? Can you share with the public out there? What is it like for you as a single provider, basically, and the hardships? And
well, it's tough. There's times where I can't be at work.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take my husband to dialysis, or he needs to go to the doctor, and then dealing with the children as well, with school, with illnesses, or anything like that. But whenever I can be, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to me that we have good paying jobs so that I can take care of my family.
Mm-hmm. And what type of hours, if you were to go to work, what type of hours and what type of work are you doing?
I'm a reservations agent.
Mm-hmm.
I work morning shift, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that works for me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The children are in school. My husband's dialysis I have in the early evenings.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to be I have to be at one place and then the next. And it's hard. It's tough. But, you know, I got to do what I got
to
do.
Now, if you were to be at work at 7, what's the preparation period and how do you travel to work? Obviously, it just doesn't, light goes on and you're there. There's something to take. But what type of preparation do you have to, and what time do you get up?
I'm up at 5 o'clock every morning. I get the kids together, who's going to be where, who's responsible for who. My oldest does a lot of driving, taking the kids around. And I have to prep for my husband. And then I also have my mother-in-law living with me, who's also on dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, it takes a while. I have to get up early and get everything ready.
So how does it make you feel, or what do you feel when you hear the, I call it the boasting by the companies in Hyatt and its mother companies and all, to say they had a grand profit, or this quarter they made, I'm just going to throw out a number, of $1 billion. Where does that leave you in the scheme of?
It leaves me wondering, where's the money? Because they're not giving it, you know, they're not sharing it. And they need to understand that they have to reinvest in our Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the best way to do that is through us.
Mike?
I echo the sentiment of hotel profits. Very much so. You know, the hotel chains now, these are Wall Street giants that have purchased the hotel chains throughout the world. And the current contracts, offers that they have on the tables, all boil down to reduced work hours, short shifts in all the departments instead of full-time employment, reduced sick leave benefits on the first days of sick leave, health and welfare funding that is, what they're proposing is really at a minimum,
mm-hmm.
and that could eventually lead to underfunding of these funds in the near future. Subcontracting, outsourcing, wage freezes, all of these things are going to affect dramatically the citizens of Hawaii, the working class of Hawaii. You know, these corporations actually do have an obligation to all of us, because they are on pristine lands. They use a tremendous amount of our natural resources for their hotels, for their guests. And we're not against any of this stuff. This is normal stuff that happens in everyday life. But they do make exceptional profits on this beautiful state that we live in. And their obligation is to the community in which that works for them,
mm-hmm.
an obligation to the state, because it is the number one industry.
I have a caller. Curtis, good morning. Are you there?
Yeah, I'd just like to start my call by acknowledging what an enormous and overwhelming challenge life is. Something they say about hardship, enduring hardship is there a way to peace, and always give people what they ask for, be Jesus-like.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we got this world tuned just like that. And I really want to know what the long-term effect is on all the people getting arrested for, I guess, a public disturbance. Are they going to now be continually denied apartment applications? Are they going to be unable to be rehired because they have a criminal record? I think the unions, the corporations, the economy, everything is doing just what God wants. And it's killing me. Personally, I'd like to go to Oregon for euthanasia. I'm tired of the tyranny of my stomach, tired of the tyranny of my medical health.
Uh-huh.
And I would just really like to comment on how much damage has really been done in the name of doing people good.
Okay, well, good hearing from you, Curtis.
I'll hang up and listen.
Long time no hear, and last time you were going to go off to L.A., well, don't go to Oregon.
Man, I just...
just hang in here with us, and one day there's light at the end of the tunnel.
So anyway,
I
that's
promise
the way
you
I'm
that.
Taking it.
Yeah, there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, and they keep telling me it's a train.
No, it's not a train. It's your friends coming to get you. So.
Okay, well, I appreciate that sentiment, and I'd really like to know how these employees can prepare for their future now that they're basically criminals.
Yeah, well, it's a choice, and
they're
sometimes...
They're going to be paying fines to the courts. This system is just here to enslave us,
yeah.
And that's what God wants somehow. And I'm really tired of it, personally.
Okay.
Hey, so thanks for my chance to give you guys something to think around another corner on and see where it goes.
Hey, thanks, Curtis.
Bye, Carol.
All right,
thanks.
Bye.
Coming in on 5.
You know, I can understand Curtis's frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we see every day,
mm-hmm.
with everyone. This is frustration that we go through because we are no longer able to chart our own courses to our lives, our economies, and everything else. We have trouble sustaining our families, and we need to stand up instead of bow to these challenges. And I can understand his frustrations very well. And
yeah.
I wish him the best.
Now, speaking of, as he mentioned, what were you charged with? What was the charges?
We were actually charged with disobeying a police order.
Okay.
We were asked to remove ourselves from the street because
mm-hmm.
we were impeding traffic, and
mm-hmm.
we were that well, the actual charge was for disobeying a police officer to evacuate the area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they locked us up on.
I see. And and what I observed is that the police department was in given this situation and the magnitude of it. I was hearkening back, if this was Los Angeles, something would have gone wrong. And I people say the aloha spirit, the aloha spirit. I think I saw it that day. I saw policemen doing, respecting your freedom to demonstrate, to assemble. And then I saw this professional. I mean, there were a lot of policemen there. And I thought, I'm glad I live here because you're able to exercise. And I think that it was acknowledged by the union and yourselves and everyone that you knew that you were going to get arrested. And I didn't see any arm twisting, and I thought half the policemen, they were treating you like you were relatives. You know, that's the closeness. And I thought, well, I was amused by that, while at the same time thinking, look at this protest. Finally, someone is saying no more. Because there's a lot of complaining and a lot of pain in the communities out here. But you guys went out there and did it. I mean, you put it together, and you said no more.
Yes.
You see? And you didn't. I didn't hear, well, if we do this, they're going to fire my auntie. If we don't do this, they're not going to let me go in the Kamehameha schools, or my sister's not going to get it. I didn't hear any of that. I heard, we're going to jail.
Yes.
It's time. There are real people here that are being impacted, like our own. And I'm sure there's a list of people that are impacted by this, that are struggling, working hard. And my sentiments go in that direction.
Local 5 did an excellent job of the planning and informing everyone. All of the participants that were arrested understood exactly why we were there,
mm-hmm.
what was to come about, and how we were to react to everything and handle it. We have great respect for Honolulu Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
That showed in our obeying their instructions and making everything as peaceful, but yet still letting everyone know that we have an issue that we are attacking.
Right.
So it's very true. It was planned very well. We're very happy that it went very well. And the Honolulu Police Department did a fine job.
Yeah. And I was standing there watching, and I heard somebody ask, why are they out filming them? Well, there's many reasons, you know. Number one, let's face it, this is the police department. And so you have to cover your occult. And someone could turn around and say, well, you know, you twisted my arm, you broke my arm, and you pulled my hair when you were putting me in, and you slammed my head against it. You never know. So that is one of the basic reasons they were filming.
Yes.
You know, and I didn't take offense to any of it. When I saw this, and I'm thinking, and the other thing, I think the brass and the PD, they were there, and I didn't see any stress. I just saw this was a methodical approach to respecting you folk, and imagine if they didn't do anything. Hyde would have been calling for Kealoha's head. And the senators and the state representatives, and we'll talk about that. See, I see them on many occasions down at the Hilton, a lot of those legislators walking around with a glass of wine when this new unit was built at Hilton. And I saw about 15 legislators walking around, had their glasses of wine, and following the leader, whoever it is that was giving the tour. And I was thinking, wow. Why don't I see some of the legislators, those same legislators? They're the ones who imported these businesses in to make the economy and better for the local people. Why didn't I see them down there with a hat on, sunshades or sunscreen lotion, out there supporting you with a bottle of water or something? So they invite
election year.
You know what I mean? So, you know, these are real issues and real reasons to say that I know we're it's Hyatt is who's doing these things and other companies who you have issues with. But the bigger issue is it's the people that brought them in, the legislators.
Yes.
Who brings them in, and then you're out on your own, but they then say it's good for the economy. Who would leave anyone to fend for themselves against this conglomerate? Who? What laws are you going to seek? Any new legislation to protect? Get our state legislators and city councilmen to?
Well, you know, this may touch on that subject. Probably one of the most disturbing things about what's happening now is the depletion of hotel rooms from the inventory of hotel rooms with new construction that will bring in private residences along Waikiki Beach.
Mm-hmm.
This is really disturbing because once the inventory of hotel rooms, these are state tax revenue rooms that are depleted from our state coffers, and when they put in residential areas in this, we can never retrieve those rooms back. Now, at the Hilton, they're going to go into timeshares, additional two more buildings. They cry poverty, but yet they're still increasing everything that they're building. Another thing, at the Sheraton, at the Princess Kailani has a major project in the works now, and the city council, we have asked that they look at this, the new buildings that are coming up, and ensure that they can at least guarantee the same amount of hotel workers, job rooms that will be furnished to the workers, and not make it only a residential condos. Same thing at the Moana. But the Moana has more things that they're asking for. They're asking for residential residences within the buildings, and also they're asking for it to grant them some leeways on heights of the building and on also access to the beaches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that the politicians actively pay attention to what they always told our number one industry.
Janelle, good morning. Are you there?
Hi, good morning. So I'm a student at UH, and I was at the rally. And I just have to say, personally, I find it really brave of these workers to have gotten arrested. And because I feel like they were doing what they needed to do to, you know, sustain their livelihood. And I can relate because I have relatives who work in the hotel industry as well, and I know how hard it was for them. And it was just a really emotional experience. And I mean, I'm only 21 years old, and I never experienced anything like this in my life before. And it's just so powerful to see them, these mm-hmm. people taking a stand for something they believe in.
Well, great. Thank you, Janelle.
Yeah, I just have to say that.
All righty.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, just don't lose that spirit, though, because if there's a future ahead of you, and the same elements that are impacting these people will impact you. So just be vigilant of that.
That's what we're also doing, Local 5 for our student program, mm-hmm. which are getting these young students, local students, into the labor fields and getting awareness toward these, which they're responding great. They're wonderfully hard workers. Mm-hmm. I know that.
And this is the Carol Cox Show. We're at 524-1080 if you have any questions. My guests are from Local 5, Mike McGurn and Kaleo Arona. And again, 524-1080. And you can pick this up at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. And we're hitting pretty good numbers out there, folks. And thank you again while I'm talking. Some days we're getting 5,000 downloads a day. So there are these alternative news sources. And always remember there's the Eon Lin, I-Lin, I-L-A-N, I-L-I-N-D, .net. And then there's Disappearing News. And then you can go to Hawaii Free Press and the Independent Hawaii News. If you add them all up, you don't have to agree. You know, some have political favor to Republicans or Democrats, but at least you'll get some news. So just keep listening and get in the spirit of supporting people like R.R. Rona and Mike in Local 5, because ultimately, R.R. Rona, for example, when you prepare for a date, being the sole provider, is it a dismal future for you? Just any tragedy could be homeless tomorrow morning, or how far are you from being homeless in this situation here within this economy?
Well, I don't think I'm that close to being homeless, but okay. You know, it could happen at any time. There's so much going on in our industry. There's a lot of work out there. And they're proposing job combinations.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hire more people. We need to have good jobs so that we have a future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to end up there. Mm-hmm. There's already a lot of people out there.
And the reason I raise that is that that's why you're here fighting to ward that off, and you could use some help from our legislators. And I saw a lot of just citizens down there supporting you. That were in the crowds.
Yes.
That I was impressed with. And so, you know, you never know. It might be the catalyst. And our legislators better take note. And those that are hanging on the periphery, you know, my city councilman, Mr. Nestor Garcia, I mean, look, majority of the people there, or a lot of them there, were in his district. I didn't mm-hmm. see him there.
No.
So, Nestor, if you're listening, you know, you need to show some skinny and quit the grinny. We need you out here. If you're going to be there with the people, I mean, with the big guys and the big wigs, then come and join the little guy, because you are the one who is inviting and setting up legislation and voting on this. What is it, the DPR? What was that condominium conversion?
That was the Department of Permitting and Planning. That's where they actually heard the issues of what they wanted and what we were asking for.
Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Carol and guests.
Yes, sir.
I'm a longtime Local 5 retired member.
Uh-huh.
And, Mike, I have a question for you. Lawyers' fees, fines, everything, that's going to be a crowded courtroom for a while with that with that many people that were arrested. Who is going to pay for that? Has that been discussed at all? Or can you say or no?
Yes, I can say what little I know about that, but I do know a little bit about it. Yes, it was discussed as far as bail money. They did give all of the people that were arrested a court date. We are not sure as to exactly what the outcome is for the court dates and everything. That I'm sure Local 5 will let us know as we go down the road toward this court date. Local 5 did bail us out, and I that's about all I know actually on it. But I wish I knew more so I could tell you, but I don't.
I know. You know what I'm hoping is that the judges will, you know, show leniency and try not to ding everybody too bad, huh?
Well, we are community members and workers and stuff. This is not a criminal thing that we're trying to do. We're trying to be heard. We're trying to make the public aware of our troubles and also of our issues. And if this is the only way that we can get corporations' attention, then this is what we need to do. And we will definitely try to make more noise in the near future.
I retired in 2004, and when I first heard of this last weekend with Gary and his guests with Carol, yeah?
Eric.
Oh, Eric, I'm sorry.
Eric.
It's been a while. coming Makuli now. But it's just absolutely atrocious how much the business has changed since I left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy cow. I really feel, you know, for all the folks in the business.
And Rob, you meant holy cash cow.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yes, it has changed tremendously. I've seen after the purchases actually were about 3 years ago, but now we are actually seeing the true grit of these companies. Yeah, we're seeing how profit-driven they are.
Yes.
At the cost of actually fairness to workers, and it's really surprising to us. So we need to do something about it.
All right, Rob.
Well, Carol, one last thing, if
yeah,
I may.
Yeah.
When, you know, for many, many years, who I worked for, and you guys will know in a heartbeat, but was owned by ITT, and when they sold it to Starwood, oh, my goodness. I mean, that was a big, like you guys say, a corporate New York, Wall Street, high-powered company that was buying up hotels all around the world. And we could see immediately the sense of change, you know, in ownership, although they preached Aloha Spirit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck in everybody's endeavors there. Keep the faith.
All righty, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right, Rob. Thank you. Rona, what was your family's reaction when you, after you, with this whole thing?
Everyone was very supportive, my family at home.
Mm-hmm.
My mother did call and was concerned, what are you doing? But other than that, my family is very supportive because they understand.
Mm-hmm. But and you were down there waving signs and...
Holding signs and helping direct the lines, keep the lines in order, speaking to the media and...
So the reason I'm interested in your side of it and your angle is that you know there was a great risk, but you put all that aside. And I hear other people sitting out there, well, they're very pensive and tentative about. And here you knew what you could lose, but you went out and supported it. I applaud you for that, and hopefully that is the catalyst for others, because people are sick and tired, but they just don't know what to do. Well, it's possible now. You guys showed them. And it is time for a change. It is time, you know, imagine Cesar Chavez saying, well, I can't go. If I go, you know, they may break my arms or shoot me or kill me. Imagine Dr. Martin Luther King saying, well, if I go down to Mississippi, now they hate me in Alabama, but man, they're going to string me up and make jerky out of me here in Mississippi. I don't think I'll go. And besides, that's the trash man's problem. I don't get anything out of that. So it is not about money now. It's about dignity, and it's about families being destroyed and families who are being probably a death sentence at the current pace, because what other work can you do?
I've been in the hotel industry for 23 years. And you know, we talk a lot about the Hyatt. The action was done in front of the Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an employee at the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for all of us throughout the industry, because whatever they do there, they're going to do to all of us.
Yeah.
So we all need to stand up together. We all need to fight. I'm showing my coworkers what's important to me and that it should be important to them, so that we all can come together and fight the same fight.
Mm-hmm. Randy, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. This is Randy, and I'm currently doing an internship with Local 5 for the summer. Like Janelle, who called earlier, I'm also a student at UH Manoa. I'll be graduating in December with a degree in philosophy and also Filipino and Philippine literature. So, but this past Thursday was my first time attending a rally of this magnitude and participating in a much larger national movement. You know, I heard that 100 people would be voluntarily getting arrested, and I thought that an act of civil disobedience this size would truly go to show how much people trust the union, like Local 5 and other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not only that, but these hotel workers are voluntarily being arrested, knowing how much this fight or this campaign means to them in terms of providing for their respective families, just struggling to pay the mortgage, parents paying for the astronomical cost of tuition in our institution, and just primarily getting by in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my friends and I, we decided to illustrate the exploitation of Hawaii and Hawaiian culture by the Wall Street capitalists by, you know, dressing up in costumes, in which one of my friends, you know, dressed up as a turtle, other one a pineapple, and, you know, I was dressed up as a Wall Street capitalist, and we were just trying to show how Wall Street was just exploiting Hawaii and its natural resources and its Hawaiian culture. And, you know, I'm a local boy in Kalihi, and I want the money to stay here in Hawaii rather than being funneled out of our state, lining the ever-bullied pockets of Wall Street capitalists, of which include private equity firms like Goldman Sachs, Cerberus, and Blackstone. So honestly, we need this money to stay so we can invest it in the local economy, produce more jobs, and create a better infrastructure that also focuses on educating the local community so they can become productive and contribute to the overall citizenry. So that's just my opinion. And I just felt empowered participating in the rally because there were so many people of like-minded perspectives like me who were fighting for something that they really believed in, workers' rights and keeping jobs here in Hawaii.
All right.
This is
thank you, Randy.
This is exactly thank you, Randy. This is exactly what our fight is all about. It's the future. These young guys are going to step up and become the next workers or leaders or just good citizens.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have great respect for former Governor Wahee and Governor Ben Cayetano, and I'm going to make this plea to them and also the general public. So listen up, folks, and if you can contact Mr. Cayetano, tell him we need him somehow. Because if you recall recently, they felt great need and felt the proper thing to do was to defend the Alum brothers. And so I'm going to ask that Governor Cayetano and Governor Wahee and Senator Daniel Inouye and all of our state legislators and all the community out there to be able to discern this wasn't a simple, you're not petty criminals. This is about our economy. This is about self-worth, dignity. So I'm thinking that the same support that they gave for the Loon brothers when we're talking about enslavement and whatever, those are some of the charges, and they pled guilty. And so I think it's appropriate to ask all of those people that were publicly showing support for the Loon brothers that they contact the courts. And clearly, the courts are influenced by these inputs and these queries from our former governors and others. So that's my plea to the, I respectfully ask all of you to do that in the public. Keep close watch on this, and what I'll do is keep updated. And if you guys would let us know so that we can get some support in letters and even funding, whatever. Because this isn't about local five. This is about, you just stood up, you're the canary in the coal mine, so to speak. You were just sick and tired of breathing the bad gas. So you flew out of the cave. You didn't just drop dead. Anyway, Mike,
thank you very much for that support message that you're sending out. We are very concerned about Hawaii, about the state of Hawaii, about Hawaii workers. And we'd like to see if Hawaii and its workers will benefit from these corporations in the future. Or if actually they're gonna send us into a permanent recession. We need work in Hawaii. We need the support of everyone that works in Hawaii. And I would like to see a full cooperation between everyone that has a family and has obligations and everything else. And that's the message we're trying to get out. This is our future. We need to stay the course.
Well, it's clear to me that, others are probably listening, go, yet another group of people want something for nothing. But the reality is we're in a slump, in a bad economy, and even if we were in a perfect economy, this type of behavior that you're describing with the corporations is unacceptable in a good economy or a bad economy. And you have to be vigilant. I mean, they're not, when people are willing to boast and they have their investors and they talk about the millions and billions they've made, I don't believe they're going to be overly
influenced by being fair to you, because you can't do both and maximize the profits and then being fair and paying people equitable rights and respecting the rights and giving them medical, but not giving them medical. I mean, if that's part of the deal, you make their hotels function and they should compensate you. It's a contract. I mean, just like the guy who brings the letters there, they compensate him, I hope, but then even that, probably they're giving him the basement price.
You know, the contract, what we're asking for is to, let's expedite a contract in a timely manner. Why are we going to meet consistently and have no intention of anything that's on the table?
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to get this completed quickly. We're busy people. We have families to take care of. We have jobs to go to, whether it's a soccer game, a football game, or whatever. We have a lot of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're much more productive when we do have our working environment in a solid place. This is what we're asking for. It's a little concerning about when Hyatt was given 16 dates in June prior to this to negotiate with Local 5, and they couldn't. There was no response on any of those 16
mm-hmm.
dates, and then we finally get one for August, the 24th, 25th of August. We'd like, in all the hotels, whether it's Sheraton, Hilton, Hyatt, wherever it is, we'd like to get a contract done so that we can get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be productive. Let's actually be productive with the few people we still have working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we really would like to aim for also.
So what we, with your negotiations now, are you, sounds like you're not getting anywhere because they're not taking it serious. Is that, can I describe it that way, or do they just figure...
Well, the negotiations between, we've had two meetings with Hilton and a couple of meetings with Sheraton. The proposals are on the table. Some of them are on. Majority of them are take-back proposals, relinquishing benefits and stuff, combination of jobs. And it's not a realistic look at what needs to be looked at,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Let me ask you this. If given the opportunity... What would you ask of the public, and in your own words, what would you ask of the legislators to do to embrace or to help your cause, the two of you?
I guess we just need for them to support us, understand where we're coming from. We're not fighting just for us individually.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting for the future,
mm-hmm.
for our children, grandchildren, and or anyone's children and grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
just for them to be able to remain here in Hawaii, grow up where they were born, be a part of their own culture, as opposed to having to move away and live somewhere else where they can afford to.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need some quality jobs here.
Yeah, I listened to Randy, and on my way driving in, yesterday I was out in Waianae, and went with an environmental justice training or tour. And I'm astounded and just impressed with the young people. Like you hear Randy, you know, we talk about Kalihi and the funny jokes and the mean-spirited remarks about people in Kalihi. Now, more than likely, at this current trend and this pace, he's going to have to move to get a job. But wasn't he eloquent? I mean, wasn't he? He obviously is educated and he has a strong desire and will. But when you listen to it, unfortunately, our leaders are inviting companies in, which is a good thing. But then they say, well, now that you're here, laissez-faire, hands off, do what you want to do. It appears that way, and I think that speaks of the leadership, and I believe there's going to be a change, and maybe you should, just a recommendation, maybe you should court some of these younger politicians that's coming up, because you see where you are with the older guys. And in some of these guys, there's John White and others out there that are running for council. Maybe you ought to start thinking. I'm not saying you, Local 5, endorse anybody. But for me, I'm just saying that you maybe you should start investing your energies in that and shape and show them. Because the young folks, they got the spirit. It just seems that when they get in office, the older guys tell them, well, hold on, boy. Let's not go too fast, you know. Because you won't be able to get in the golf over there at the Princess or whatever. Be careful now, you know. I'm being facetious, but mm-hmm. but I do know instances where a lot of the city councilmen get to go to all the golf tournaments and put on by the hotels and the wine glasses and, you know, so.
You know, it's true. You know, the workers in Hawaii, whether they're carpenters or plumbers, hotel workers or whatever, they all depend on what's happening in the state to keep the economy moving and going.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to the politicians to ensure that in the longer vision of the future, that they have to make sure that every faucet of jobs within Hawaii needs to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot get into our cars and drive off to the next state when there are, you know, low job numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the responsibility of our legislators and, again, Department of Planning, City Council, all of these guys make huge decisions that are going to affect every worker in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And Local 5 does necessarily need to be a little more active within the voting process. We encourage all of our members to vote. We have supported many candidates that we feel will help, not us,
mm-hmm.
but they'll help the state.
Right.
They'll lift everyone. And those candidates are very important to us. And Kate at Local 5, who takes care of our community organizations and our political side, does an excellent job of getting the word out also.
You know, I'm thinking that what should happen here, you know, a lot of the smaller companies, a lot of the stores who you guys shop at,
mm-hmm.
I think they should also be putting in a little support toward you. Because if you lose, they lose. The trickle down theory,
yes.
Well, it's just, you know, this is an, look at it as an ecosystem. I mean, dependency on each other, a symbiotic relationship, as you call it in science. So without you, there are people that you support. The money that you make,
yes.
The little money, I should say, the little money you make, you support, you fuel the economy here. There are some people that are touched. When you stop and get gas, you're supporting a gas station. And you're supporting that clerk's job who sits there and takes your money. May not be a lot, right? So, you know, this thing is, there's so many interconnected or related entities.
Well, that's why they need to leave the money here so that we can turn our own economy.
Mm-hmm. Or at least treat you right. I mean, you know, I mean, if you can't get medical care, you know, I mean, your husband now is getting diabetes or dialysis. And, you know, what do you do?
You know, right? The point that you made was excellent, too. In Waikiki, if they start putting more residential areas in Waikiki, they're not going to be visiting the Louis Vuitton shops and all these other high-end stores. If you live in Waikiki, you may go to Fruitland, but those businesses have a great interest in who is actually in Waikiki,
mm-hmm.
to actually go to their shops.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be great if they would realize that.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, what I saw there at the protest was confirmation to me that we in America, we still have it. And in seeing how it worked and seeing the police officers, how they treated you, I mean, it was absolutely, I was impressed with the whole process. And seeing the people, the support, people from Kauai, Big Island, seeing the people's fond there and all of that. And Amy Agbayani, I mean,
yes,
why would she get involved? I mean, she has a job. She's a professor there.
Yes.
So, I mean, she didn't bother to say, oh, if I do that, I'm going to be, my job's going to be threatened. And that's what we need. That's we've been sucked into this whirlpool of, if I do what's righteous, then I'm going to lose something.
Yes, yes.
You're losing something if you just sit on your thumbs and look what you have. And people are moving and people are going to the beaches. But not everybody out there on the beach, for example, is with drugs or thugs or criminals. There are some people that just can't make it in this economic hardship.
Yeah, homelessness is much more than homeless is a social disease, actually.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a social disease. It's how we treat them and why they're there. They, as you say, they are not crackheads or whatever.
Criminals.
You know, these are true problems of people hurting.
Well, please keep us informed in the public, and I ask again the public and former governor, Cayetano and John Y. Hey, please, at minimum, bring yourself to some support here. Just throw a little bit, half of what you threw to the Loon brothers. Just call the judge up and take him golfing. Do that for us, because that carries a lot of weight and that costs. And then have these records dropped or stricken.
Yeah.
Because it was an exercise of your right, you know? So I don't know what else to say. Well, thank you, Mike and Arona.
Thank you, Carol.
Already.
Thank you, Carol. It's great.
Keep us posted.
Will do.
And I'm always watching and hoping for you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Already. Thank you. Already. Well, we're going to get out of here, and I want to appreciate thank all of you for joining us and all the phone calls. So I'll see you next week, and we're going to be talking about a couple of things. I've just uncovered a little action on the Hanneman activity where he was using executive secretaries to run his campaign office. Do they want to talk about it? No. I sent a letter to Kurt Caldwell. They don't want to talk about it, but I actually confirmed it with secretaries who actually were working at the campaign headquarters. Yes, they claim that they put in for vacation, but how is it that all of them can flock to the campaign headquarters on vacation? Maybe we'll find out. Okay, thank you, and I'll see you next week.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.